Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Jules Gill.
Hello, everyone.
And Ben Roy Taylor.
Hello there.
Now, at this point, we've done three different intros. I'm slightly losing my mind. It's the beginning of week 2/3. And, you know, we've been talking about all things quarantine-based. And speaking of which, you guys have both played Resident Evil 3.
We have indeed, yes. So the review should be out on the website already, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, by the time this goes out, the video review will be live, so people can check that out. But I just wanted to say, you guys, I don't think, have talked to each other that much about it, and nope. I haven't quizzed you guys on it yet. So, Jules, what was your final review for it, and what do you guys both think?
So, to cut a long story short, and probably to save people from actually watching the review in general, I gave it 8 stars out of 10. And while I think that it is a really enjoyable short experience, there's quite a few interesting tweaks that they've made that probably don't move the story or the narrative that Capcom are trying to tell forward enough from Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil 2 Remake is still, for me, the primo. It's up there with Resident Evil 4 as like the best Resident Evil games ever made.
Because, Benroy, you had, like, I think you sent me, like, a little ranking. I think you had the new Resident Evil 3 quite far down, but that was still a top brass.
Yeah, I had it sort of, like, just outside the top five. Like, this is still, like, top tier, like, new Resident Evil. But I think as we get into, like, it doesn't... It's not just an action game, but it's so fast. You go through stuff so quickly that it's not the sort of, like, you don't feel the polish of 2, where you're going through these areas over and over again. You can familiarize yourself with them and get to know how you're going to deal with situations. This is just wham bam, thank you ma'am, keep going, you've not got time to do anything.
Well, I think it's like, you know, with Resident Evil 2, you hear that sort of age-old expression of, like, when the environment itself becomes a character because it develops and grows. And I feel like Resident Evil 2, the original and the remake, managed to nail that with the Raccoon City Police Department. I know that you're not in there for the entirety of the game, but the fact that you're in there for the majority of it means that you really do feel like you become connected to its hallways and every little minor change you notice. Whereas in Resident Evil 3, these separate scenarios and the different scenes of the action, as they were, are really impressive. You're never there long enough for them to sort of gestate with the player enough to be like, oh, that is a standout moment. I could probably tell you of some really great moments in this game, but they seem so disjointed. You probably say, are they from the same game? You know, it feels like you cut and change too many times almost.
Do you think you can tell that they, because obviously it only came out a year, it's going to be a year after RE2. Do you think you can tell that the corners feel like they were cut?
They've got no excuse for that, though, because of the fact that Resident Evil 3's original PS1 remake was kicked out a year after Resident Evil 2 because, again, of a tight turnaround that they needed to do, and they still managed to make that game feel pretty much unique while still recycling a ton of assets. This has got brand new assets and still feels like a little bit of corners were cut.
It's really weird because I don't know if it's because we're so familiar with the original, but the beginning, like the intro, which is like in your face, and then straight afterwards I felt like we were hitting like areas and sort of like segments of the story so fast. Like the power station part, which kind of gets retooled from 3 to this one, I felt came around so quickly, just from the point of finding certain aspects, like the, you know, the, we all remember the bit with the child drawings on the floor, mm-hmm. how that was moved around. So, oh, this is here. But wait a minute, I don't remember being here so fast. And yeah. how other characters sort of entangled in this sort of mess of Raccoon City being destroyed. And I won't mention like where other events come, but like there are points when you do eventually go to like RPD, for a moment I thought, oh, is this going to happen? Because they've made it different enough for us, like sort of veterans. But then again, it also felt like, I keep harking on this, like it was all going through so quickly. It's almost like when I played the demo, they chose that section and it feels so nice and slow. But that to me was the only sort of true sort of Resident Evil-y experience that we've had in recent years. And after that, it was more of a tight action focused game.
How much can we go into spoilers for this? Are we actually like delving fully into it?
We should keep it spoiler free just because it'll be the launch. Well, we're still before launch at the minute, but we could do a spoiler pod in the coming weeks.
Well, all I'll say is that once the action moves away from Raccoon City, underground Raccoon City, as everyone who's played the original will know, it does maintain those sort of like that tight survival horror aspect. And there's a lot of elements of, I'd say, more Resident Evil 4 in this game than there is Resident Evil 2 or the remake. But the problem is that I didn't feel like there was much fear to be had outside of Nemesis itself, because that was the only unpredictable element. Everything else felt like I had not been there, done that sort of thing, because that seems like I'm dismissing it as being bad. I loved that experience. It just was more of the same, and that's you were used to that by, I mean, the amount of time that Ben Roy and I and yourself have put into Resident Evil 2's remake, we were speedrunning that game by the end of it almost. Mm-hmm. So the fear goes the more you learn the enemy mechanics. And so instantly when I noticed that it was, oh, I've seen this enemy before, I've done this, I've like, you know, I've beaten this before, absolutely fine. I just went back into that mode of just being like, cool, I know exactly what to do now.
Because did you guys find that first time through as well? Like, what were your completion times? I think Jules, yours was like 3 hours or something.
I think mine was it's 2 hours 45.
That's so short.
I don't understand that, because mine was 7.
Because I was I wasn't fighting. I was, from the very outset of the game, they made it clear that they wanted it to be treated as an action game rather than the survival horror game, because that's what Resident Evil 3 itself did by moving the franchise forward. So I was just using the roll time dodges and Carlos's like straight punch stuff every opportunity I can. I wasn't shooting anything. I had so much ammo by the end of that game. It was ridiculous. I was like, I wasn't even a case of, oh, I'll save it for a rainy day. I literally was just like, oh, I've apparently skipped all the bits that needed to be shot at.
Sorry, Ben, we're gone.
I was kind of like killing as much as I could and looking all the little nook and crannies. I was like, oh, there's this gate. Like, there were certain gates and things you can open or find a way to get to. And I was like, I was going back to areas a few times. That first area, like from the demo that people have played, I spent quite a lot of time in there just going around before.
Oh, see, I didn't, because I didn't know if we were coming back to it. I thought that was going to be the main center stage thing for the entire game. So when I was just constantly like, oh, okay, I'll just nip off and finish this quest and then come back and do this, I expected things to stay there. It didn't. And I was like, oh, I've missed out on tons of stuff.
You do kind of get certain aspects locked off very sort of like out of nowhere. It's kind of out of nowhere because Nemesis is around every corner.
Yeah.
And then when you get to a new section, after 2-3 times of him bouncing out, I was then making sure I was going through every little bit and doing every section just to make sure I don't have to do this again, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys get, not necessarily sick of, but what did you think of the Nemesis, like the way Nemesis works? Like, has he got a specific set of animations that once you figure out he's less frightening or whatever?
This is the thing. It's a double-edged sword, this one, because I genuinely think that Nemesis blows Mr. X out of the water. Like, the amount of stuff that he can do and the amount of ways in which he can attack and kill you is, like, phenomenal. I genuinely was, like, still seeing new animations, like, towards my first run through before he changes, and it's not a spoiler to say he changes, we all know that there's different forms. But unfortunately with that comes a complete change in the gameplay's tone. He's able to, in his first form, drop from the sky, scream at you so that you become debilitated and can't move, or you become susceptible to attacks. He can infect other enemies to become nemesis style tongue like creatures on their head.
I hate them, by the way. They're so bloody annoying. Like, there's never a time where I felt, even going back and recording some footage last night, there was no time when I felt comfortable fighting them.
No.
Like, there's the standard sort of like, there's the yellow bit on the Resident Evil enemy that you shoot to make the weak. Nah, it doesn't happen with a pistol. They just close off until they get so close, and then they just suck you. And all I just feel is like, nah, I'm just going to shoot them with a shotgun.
And when they're doing the tongue whip thing,
you're
just like, okay, cool, I'm going to wait for it to screech, because it's like the liquor. You know when to dodge because the liquor will like screech at you. But in this one, the tongue comes out and you go, oh, it's attacked me. Damn, I didn't even know that it was attacking me. Because you're meant to like dodge underneath it, obviously.
As well, like, I thought I could cheap this game, but because I went behind a counter, I was like, oh, it's not going to get me from behind this counter. The game wouldn't have worked for that.
Yeah.
Nah, it just reached through and got me and hit me. I was like, ah, damn it.
But going back to Nemesis, like, he can, like, absolutely twat you. Like, he's got Mr. X's strength. He's got the flamethrower, obviously, we see in the trailers. I won't say anything else because I'm pretty sure the rest would be spoiler stuff, but there are moves that he does that you don't see in the demo section that are equally devastating. And when I was playing against that, I was felt alive. I felt that this is the exact thing, this is the best foot forward, this game is running on full cylinders. And yet, as soon as he evolves and changes into something else, it removes the ability for him to randomly pop up. It only happens at scheduled events for boss battles and such. And from that moment, I was like, that's a real shame.
I was going to say, did you guys feel like they... Because I remember playing... Resident Evil 3 was my very first Resident Evil, the ones that I played the most of as a kid and stuff. And I remember those bits. I know they took these out, but I remember those scenes in the PS1 one when the heartbeat thing would come on and it was like, oh, you need to pick a route that you want to jump. Like, oh, you're getting hemmed in by Nemesis.
You need to
pick one way or another. And I know they sort of divide people, but I always used to like that. Now, I've not gone back to it since 1998 or whatever the hell it was. But there's not that stuff got taken out of the new one. But so, how do they get around that? How do they replicate that feel?
This is no choice, and when Nemesis comes, it's almost like locks off the world into sort of like a sequence. Imagine if you're running away from the boulder in Crash Bandicoot. It's kind of like that, where you're just like, oh, just need to go, just need to shoot the electric thing to stun him, or there's the red barrel, boom, to get through sort of things. Like, you need nothing in your arsenal ever really, I feel like, has anything to contend with him. And like Jules was saying, after that first form, you just kind of fall into the sort of like, wait, so now I know that Nemi's not just going to pop up anywhere and go, stars. He's going to be in certain sections. You can always tell when you move to areas. And I'd say later on that they were shown briefly in the trailer, the Hunter. I always found that more of a pain than Nemesis itself, because after a while, Nemesis, again, as we've said, isn't just randomly coming out and boom, going to chase you around. Which drags these sequences out for so long. Like, I tested it in that beginning area with the donut shop. He'll just follow you until you get out of there, until you move on and progress the story, which is a pain.
Do you find that it's easier to sort of...
I don't know about you, Jules, but the Hunters, you seem to be okay with this, but they caused me so much hassle later on in the game.
See, the Hunters were all right because of the fact that every time that they would lunge and attack, they would do the screeching thing, so I'd immediately just be doing the perfect dodge roll and rolling underneath him. But the thing is, I just didn't waste ammo. I didn't shoot them. I didn't kill half of the things that I encountered apart from zombies, and I was only stunning them because I was just like, I've got places to be. And I was always worried that I was going to run out of ammo, so I just was constantly just like, no, I'm not going to even bother firing at that. But
how did you get into that mindset, though? Were you not like, I want to just things look like being shot?
So, I mean, the thing is that it prepares you because of the fact that playing Resident Evil 2 just makes you appreciate not wasting ammo to shoot enemies. It told you at the beginning of that game that that ammo was going to be scarce and survivability was your top priority. Whereas this one, there is a lot of ammo. There's a lot of guns around. I found that the normal difficulty was actually quite easy, like, in terms of what they gave you. But I tell you what I absolutely love, and I kind of wish retroactively they would add in as a mode for the RE2 remake, and that is removing the support items. You don't get, like, the knife or the flashbang or the grenade that you can shove down a monster's throat if it grabs you. You don't don't get any of that get out of jail free cards. You now, if you get grabbed, that's your problem, and you need to use the dodge and the punches and the like the range to actually deal with them before they get close. There is a scene later on in the game, I won't say where and what happens, but you are surrounded by enemies, and that can become an absolute mess to try and deal with, but in a gloriously chaotic way.
Okay, because I was going to say that those items, like, you know, you finally get the infinite knife or the infinity knife or whatever in two if you sort of do all those challenges. But when I played the demo, there's a bit where a zombie comes out of like behind you. It's like out of frame and it grabs you, and that felt quite cheap because there was no way to get it off me.
Are you talking about the one in Resident Evil 2 Remake where you drop down to try and do all of the chess piece puzzle things? Because
I mean in the demo 4 3.
I did check that section, Scott, and there is like a little bit of a nook where he is, and you pop him in and then he gets up and goes ooh. But there is every zombie that sort of like I knew from the demo, I tried popping them and then they were getting up. There was one section in the game where, because every zombie I was poking with my knife, I was like, come on then,
because
now we've got the knife back, I'm like, come on, just poking everyone. So I wasn't doing a Jaws where I'm sort of like action hero dodging through everything. I'm slowly methodically poking every dead human in Raccoon City, and one of them literally got up and just slapped me about, and that was not fun.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
My favorite bit, and I think that it'll work quite well using the laptops for this thing, even though you guys can't see it, it's just kind of like they just go bang
in and out of frame within a few seconds. You should talk about the boss battles, because I hear that they've changed some stuff. And like Jules, you told me about, without going into specific spoilers, there was something targeting you with a laser and that was more of a mechanic and you had to sort of dodge different things.
I think that the way that they approach boss or singular boss encounters in this game is absolutely commendable. Like, it's far better in my opinion than how they did it with Resident Evil 2's remake, and I know I'm comparing it to that a lot lot, but it's because it's the same engine, because it was a quick turnaround. We have to sort of address that.
Yeah, of course.
Like, Birkin was a great boss. G and Mr. X was fantastic as well. But I found that especially the second encounter with him when you have to use the crane to knock him off, I hated that boss battle because there was no way to dodge. There was no way to make that small environment feel like it was a fair fight.
I think it's the worst part in that game. They haven't brought anything like that back, have they?
Well, no, they have in a way, in the sense that there are some confined spaces that you'll fight enemies, but you now have abilities to get out of them. Like if a zombie or a hunter or something else is coming to try and grab you and you are in a corridor that you can't get past, you wait for them to grab, you roll straight underneath them, and away you go.
The dodge, if you time it right, you can pretty much get away from every nemesis attack that I have sort of seen. I did fumble it a few bits last night while recording, just to see what it would be like. But there's two fights in that game where I pretty much dodged him all the time, but I wasn't working out how to do it, kill him. Like, I was doing the wrong thing for ages, but luckily I managed to, because I was dodging him so much, it took me about, say, 20 minutes to work out this fight, and I felt so dumb afterwards.
Oh, mate, there was the second encounter with him, again, not going into the spoilers, was just like, I had brought the wrong gun to the wrong gunfight, and it took me a bloody while to get through to him. And I was like, the game even has a point where it turns around and goes, yeah, you probably should have used this gun. And I'm like, yeah, no doy.
I love them telling you, like, after the fact, it's like in Doom, it's like, hey, do you want some Sentinel armor? You're not doing very well. Do you want this instead? It's like, cheers, game, for owning me even after I died.
One thing, this is the thing. I know I sound like I've harshed on this game. I have really enjoyed my time with it.
We'll pivot into some positives in a bit.
But there's one more complaint that I want to make, and that was something that actually happened in the previous game, and that is, when I die enough times, don't give me the option for the assisted mode. Like, because in a hurry, when I'm going to press retry, it might sometimes... I had to restart a previous save that was 30 minutes past because I'd accidentally clicked on assisted mode because it popped up. I was like, go away. If I want to turn it on, I'll turn it on at the beginning, or do it as I'm dying. You know what I mean?
Like I said, that's the thing that's in Doom. That's in something else that I was playing as well.
Do you remember Super Mario World, when it just was like, gave you the super invincibility leaf, and it was just kind of like, here's a token of how crap you are.
Yeah, just sort of like, you know, the helping hand, you're on the floor, or you're sort of like dying on the floor like Yamcha. It's like, we'll get you back up. Yeah, I don't like that stuff. It feels like more of an insult. Do you think that the power dynamics in this game are more balanced, like you feel more capable as Jill? Like, because against Mr. X, it was like, okay, as soon as he enters the room, you can only run, but if you have, like you said, the punches, Carlos, you have the dodge, does it feel like you're more capable? Like, she seems like a bit of a tank with, and that's really cool
with this. It's literally that dodge can get you out of most like situations. Like, if Mr. X got you to a corner in the game, you had to take 3 or 4 uppercuts from him before you could sort of get away. With this one, is dodge, go. It works so much better than the PS1 original, where that was, I don't know, it might work, or in one of the Resident Evil Revelations games where the dodge is on like mapped to 400 buttons and you've got to stand on 1 foot to make it work. It was crap then. This is the best they've ever done dodge in Resident Evil, and I'd like to see this dodge in pretty much every other game.
I really like the dodging mechanic because of the fact that it does empower you. It doesn't remove the threat because there are still enemies there. You're not actually technically defeating them with like an instant hit kill or anything like that. And it's not like the Resident Evil 2 remake where you got to use a grenade down someone's throat to instantly kill them with that. It makes it, risk and reward is definitely paramount in this game. And if you are like properly like storming ahead and just going, right, I'm not going to stop for this thing, if you dodge underneath it, there's a good chance that you won't have to face that enemy again. You've saved yourself a ton of bullets. It's really good. I've really enjoyed
it. It feels like they have made something that, like, obviously, yeah, there's the 1 year turnaround, and like, you know, we can parallel that to the way that the original Resident Evil 3 came out. But it kind of feels like they've made something that works if you're coming into this having been an expert at RE2. Like, that short turnaround kind of preps you in a way. It's like, okay, I can go straight from this. Like, I mean, I still remember RE2 super fresh. Like, I mean, it is only a year ago. So in this case, I mean, I don't know, parts of this just feel like an extension of that main feel.
I do think that this game has been made with speedrunners in mind, because I know that obviously these changes were based on the original, but the fact that this game has you know, like your achievements and your trophies for completing the game and under a certain time limit, and you get your S rankings if it's under 2 hours and stuff like that, which is just bananas. But I feel like that explains why some of the action and scenes were cut in the way that they were. I feel like they built this game wanting to do a really good homage to the original, but delivered something that couldn't be too full, because otherwise it would detract from the speedrunning experience that they've cultivated from RE2's remake. And I do feel that they are constantly trying to push people towards Resident Evil Resistance, which for me isn't my thing. I like online games, but I don't think that it should be the main star of the show. Why we are buying this game is for Resident Evil 3's remake, and I do feel like Capcom have tried to really just go, oh, there's not much post-game content, so just go to Resident Evil Resistance instead. That's where you should be going.
Yeah, because you said there's no extra modes, there's no mercenaries, there's nothing like that.
I was gutted about that. Genuinely, like, mercenaries mode was the first experience, because I actually, like, hand on heart, never actually completed Resident Evil 2 when I was a kid, until I came back to it as an adult and realized how that you get the fourth survivor. So mercenaries mode was my first sort of post-game content in a Resident Evil game that I'd ever actually experienced, and I loved it. I used to spend hours on it. I unlocked the infinite rocket launcher, which let me tell you something, takes some grinding to do. So
nice. We should pivot into some positives, because, like, overall you gave it 4 stars. Like, it is like a worthwhile product, but what are you guys' positives?
So this is how action Resident Evil should be. This is this is how Resident Evil 6 should have happened. Like, when they went from 5 to 6, like, this just shows that you can have, like, thoughtful paced sort of like horror sections that burst into action, that quickly go back into a sort of like another brief sort of puzzle section, solve into more exploration, and then bam, there's more action. It doesn't feel forced. It works so well. I think the fact that Nemesis is chasing you through sections so you don't have time to mess about, it's just, I can't emphasize enough, like, that even with zombies in the way and getting through things, you can kind of like slide by people, dodge, take the head off. It just feels so kinetic and feels like you would actually be watching a proper zombie film, and it doesn't feel janky as hell.
Yep, totally agree. I think that the action is on point. There's never a dull moment. Even in the rest periods, you're literally only minutes away from some action kicking off again. And if you were to distill every single moment from this game and I write it down in a list of stuff that happened, every single one of them is great. It's just when you put it together, maybe it's just a little bit too frantic to be to have the emotional resonance that you would want to have. And there are some changes that I can tell have just been done because they're like, okay, it would take too long to explain this, let's just go from this to this. And you can shrug and say that's fine, but some of them are a bit like, ooh, okay. I mean, as we were discussing yesterday, Scott, I'm going to do a piece on the one change to Resident Evil 3's remake that breaks its entire continuity. So look forward to that.
The stuff like that. I mean, actually, Ben, where are you going
to
weigh in?
I was supposed to say, I look forward to the spoiler pod, because there's a few changes. One sort of in particular that I'm kind of like, come on, man. Why do you do that? Why do you change this thing, which I'm not going to specify at all, just so I don't spoil it? Because I was upset, but you know what? The game made up to me in the end.
Yeah. I am curious about how much they are treating these new remakes as the new canon. If they're changing stuff around, I don't think they've really got out there and said, like, this is the new.
I think they have. Like, that's the reason why there's not four endings or stuff like that. I think they they said earlier on that there's going to be one specific ending. We're just going to make this nice and tight. Same with, like, even though there are multiple endings in RE2, they all sort of coincide to become one ending.
Yeah,
and I think going forward that they want just the one ending thing, so now they can nip it in the bud and we go, this is it, and this is how it goes.
Do you think going forward they, like, do they do Code Veronica next, do they do 4, or is this the end?
Without going into spoilers, I reckon that there's clear evidence for one of those, but we will.
That's a really good tease.
I also just want a new Resident Evil. Like, I actually, after playing that, I not in a bad way, I just want 8 before I get another remake, I think, now.
Right. Yeah. Do you think with 3 as well, they've proven that they can do the third-person stuff? Like, for me, I love the way 2 plays so much that I was like, yep, 7 was cool, but honestly, this feels like Resident Evil.
If they keep the exact same bones that they've got and have been fleshed out with Resident Evil 3, I honestly don't think that they will need to change this engine very much at all in the future. Like, I know that there are some people that might say that the enemy design might sort of get a bit stagnant, but trust me, when it plays this well, you can't criticize it. If your criticism is it feels like it's the same game, that formula has now moved to a point where I'd say that it's as close to perfect as Resident Evil is going to get without going into first person perspective.
True. I think I'm curious what people make of it. I think the runtime stuff is curious, like, because it's just there, if there is a way to sort of like clock it in about 3-ish hours, and even if you take your time like Benroy did, that's still less than like 8 or 10. Like, I'm curious whether the general consensus becomes, oh god, you can tell it turned around in a year.
I think that if they had just released Leon's campaign for Resident Evil 2 and done it at that, people would probably have the same issues, because it still would just be one story with this. But the fact that they had four, albeit only slightly tweaked variations, that made it feel like it was like enough content. And then they had the fourth survivor, which itself was expanded upon. It's a little bit disappointing to see that not much has been made with this, but I hope the DLC will expand it further down the line.
This game is going to really favour people like me and Jules, who went for the platinum trophies last time and went back and set yourself them sort of tasks, like, can I get through this game in under sort of like 3-4 hours, 2 hours? Can I get through it only using, like, I don't know, we haven't had the list yet, so I'm not spoiling this, but I don't know, there's gonna be one for not using the item box like there wasn't two and things like that.
Yeah,
that really added another layer of it to me. But yeah, if you're just gonna play this one done, it's not a full 60 when it on release, so I guess that's something. But yeah, if someone like Jules, 3 hours, I don't know how you did it in 3 hours. Like, I'm still sitting here wondering how you did that in 3 hours, but yeah.
Well, remember, I found a gun that you didn't find.
Yeah, also, when I finished it, I remember...
And that gun was a big one.
I messaged both of you, like, I didn't find this. And I know that gun is in pretty much every Resident Evil game. But I was like, where is it? And I found bits for it to make it better, but no, I didn't find the gun.
I quite like a game that knows that it's encouraging replayability. I think Doom Eternal does that better than so many titles, but I like the idea that even if they do have quite a short, tight runtime, at least they give you things that encourage you to go back through it, learn those layouts, and comb every single part of it. That could be a more intentional sort of overall positive, that, like, okay, we know that it's short because we've actually encouraged you to go through it 3 or 4 more times, because they don't have the multiple scenario thing like 2 did. But, you know, there is a worthwhile stuff.
And I can't emphasize enough how even though they've sort of singlified, even if that's a word, probably not, they've sort of brought this whole story into one coherent sort of piece from start to finish. I didn't not enjoy a single part of it, apart from one point which I was sad that wasn't there. But all in all, from beginning to end, especially like the intro, which we won't go into, phenomenal. I was on the edge of my seat all the way through, and I love this experience. But when I say sort of like it's 6th or 7th in the ranking of Resident Evil games, you've got to look everything above that. 1 remake, 2 remake, 2, 4, 7. They're all phenomenal, and this sits up there with them, but it's just, say, a slight notch below.
There is a ton of like tough competition for it. Yeah,
I'm just glad that a newer generation gets to experience like something that was very, very instrumental to a lot of our childhoods, because yes, it is different. It doesn't mean that it's worse or in any way like a bad reference of it. I feel like it's running on the best engine that it possibly could. It's got the best interpretation of Nemesis. Enemy layout's still fantastic. The score is sparse but incredible when it is used. And the action set pieces are far and away some of the best Resident Evil has ever had.
Beautiful. We'll keep doing more podcasts on it. We've clearly got more spoilers to talk about, and obviously in the coming weeks everyone else will get their hands on it, so we'll keep checking back in. But for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Jules Gill.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Benroy Turner.
Stars.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.